Okay, I want to speak about something from last week's Sedra that also has to do with Purim. And even though Purim is over, it's not over that long, and we are going to be the first ones to speak about Purim for the next year. Okay. But it's an important idea that's not only obviously relegated to Purim, and it connects to last week's Sedra, so I want to start with that, and then, in Yitz Hashem, there should be time. We'll speak about something about next week, etc. The Ramban says that the Torah starts, V'ata tetzaveh, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, command the following things. And there are three things mentioned in the Sedra, which we'll see are really four things. The first is that Moshe, and the Ramban says that Moshe Rabbeinu had to do these things personally. All the other things concerning the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu gave over to other people to do. He just commanded them what to do, and they did it. But these three things Moshe Rabbeinu had to be involved in personally. What were those three things? The first one is the Atah Tetzaves B'nei Yisrael V'Yichwei Lech Hashem in Zayizoch. The oil for the menorah had to be personally taken care of by Moshe Rabbeinu. They brought it to him. He had to inspect to make sure that it was properly made. It was pure enough for the menorah. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's personal job. The oil had to be taken care of by him personally. Second thing. The second thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded in last week's Sedra was to appoint the Kohanim. That Aaron and his children should be the Kohanim. The Ata Hakre Velechas Aaron Achicha. You bring closer, you install the Kohanim. The installation of the Kohanim had to be done by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And lastly, the Begadim, right? That you have to be involved personally in seeing to it that the Big Day Kohuna, the clothing of the Kohanim, is made. And the clothing of Kohanim had two purposes. One's Lekadsho Lekanoli, to sanctify them, that they should be able to be Kohanim. And in fact, the Gemara says, Bigdeyam Aleihem Kunasam Aleihem. When they were wearing their clothing, they had the law of a Kohen, and if they didn't wear that clothing, then they weren't Kohanim. They were like everybody else. The clothing in that situation made the man, made him a Kohen. And the second purpose of Bigdei Kohuna was Lekavod L'Tiferes, for glory and honor. It was a glory and honor to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam when people saw the Kohanim, the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dressed in such glorious clothing. It was a Kiddush Hashem. It was a glory and an honor to the Kohen, and Memela, the Kohen, represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a glory and honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So now the question is, why? Why could Moshe Rabbeinu delegate authority for every other thing in the Mishkan except these three, four things? Why did these things have to be directly through the agency of Moshe Rabbeinu? So let me tell you what I think, and then we will connect it to Purim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the pillar of Torah. He was the foundation of, he received the Torah, the written Torah, and he was the foundation of the receiving of the Torah, and the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, is the source of all Torah Shebaal Peh. All of the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is developed as the Word of God, that was given over to us to learn out of the Torah Shebichsav, and to darshan it with all the drushes and all the Yud Gimel Midosha Torah Nidreshes Bohem, the 13 principles of how to learn things from the Torah, all the Torah Shebaal Peh that has been created since the Torah was given by the Chachamim of every generation, obviously has to have its source in Torah Shebichsav. It has to be faithful to the written Torah. And therefore, the menorah, the light of the menorah, represents the dissemination of the light of Torah that comes from the fire of Torah, which is the written Torah. The written Torah is the fire of Torah. The light of Torah is that which then shines on for all generations and is extracted from that fire, which is called the oral Torah, Torah Shebaal Peh. and therefore the oil that went into creating this light in the menorah, right? The menorah is a symbol of Torah Shebaal Peh. It says in the Gemara that, or Rashi says sometimes, when something is like a perfect drasha, is kaftor vaferach. What does that hint to? To the ornaments, ornaments on the menorah, kaftor vaferach. So the menorah was the symbol of the dissemination of the oral Torah. Now, what was the source of that oral Torah? The oil. The oil is the symbol of Torah Shebaal Peh, or at least the foundation of Torah Shebaal Peh, because for one respect, oil is gotten by pressing the olives. Torah, in order to really come to what is Torah Shebaal Peh, to be able to learn from the Torah what's necessary to extract from it, you need a tremendous amount of amal, the yagia, effort, and investment, and that's what the pressing of the olives represents to get this oil. In addition, the oil has to be pure, and oil represents our separation from the nations of the world. We're compared to oil, and the nations of the world are compared to water. And in order to really be able to understand the Torah and to learn from the Torah that which is necessary for every generation, a person needs to put in a lot of effort, which is represented by the pressing of the olives, and he has to also be pure. He has to be able to be separated from all foreign influences, and his entire focus is the influence of Torah, just like the oil and the water have to be separated. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the foundation of the written Torah, had to be the one to supervise this oil for the menorah from which would come the dissemination of the oral Torah. Because the oral Torah has to come from the written Torah, can't be something new. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu knew every chiddush that every generation, every student would come up with new ideas. It's not that he knew them actually, but they're inherent in the written Torah. In fact, somebody once said, somebody came up with a nice idea, or not such a nice idea, an idea, and somebody said, this is such a great chiddush that even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know it. Right? It has no source in the written Torah. In fact, it says that somebody, in order to be on the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin had to be the ones to formulate the laws that they learned from the written Torah and to deal with new situations that came up and what the halachas emanated from the written Torah. In order to be on the Sanhedrin, you had to be able to make a pilpul that could make a sheretz tar. Sheretz is one of the eight kinds of animals that are tummy. You had to be able to come up with a pilpul, a drash, the matayrus hasheretz, and there was a town that could do it with 150 different reasons. Now, why in the world would you want to do something like that, which is totally ridiculous? A sheretz is tummy. But you had to know that with mental gymnastics, you could come up with things that are totally against the Torah, and you could think they're Torah. So you have to know that you could even be matayrus sheretz with mental gymnastics. That's not Torah. That's not Torah Shebaal Peh. They say the Ragachov Gom once gave a shear to his Talmidim, and he proved conclusively that you're allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. Conclusively. So he said, anybody here that can break up what I said? And they couldn't. He said, very simple. Took out a chumash, and it says, you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. So with all the mental gymnastics in the world, you can't go against what it says in the Torah. So the Torah Shebaal Peh has to emanate from the Torah Shebichsav, it has to be faithful to it, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu had to supervise personally the oil that went into the menorah, which represented the dissemination of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore, that's the first thing. Second thing, kahuna. Kahuna is the source of avoda in Klal Yisrael. Avoda means service to God, but it means more or less to negate oneself, subjugate oneself totally to God. A Kohen is an Oved, an Oved is an Eved. An Eved is a servant. A servant is totally negated and subjugated to his master. And in that respect, we are the Kohanim of the world. We are Mamleches Kohanim. The Kohen brings that out within us. He's our Shliach, he's also God's Shliach. He's God's representative to the Jewish people to help us bring out the Kahuna that's within us. We have that potential to be God's servants, to be God's representatives, to have that inner Kedusha. And to serve God, what's it called, exclusively. We are the exclusive servers of God in the world. The Kohanim are there to help us bring out that that ability, right? So in any case, and that is, that power comes from the Torah. Service to God, subjugation to God, has to be based on Torah. It can't be something separate from Torah. If you want to know how to get spirituality, how to be subjugated to God, it's through doing the Torah, through learning Torah, through observing the Torah. It's not through sitting on the top of a mountain with your legs crossed and meditating your navel, right? Which some people think is the way to get spirituality, right? Or meditation or all different kinds of things. Those are not spirituality. Those are what's in this coming week, Sedra, the Chet HaEgel, where people decide how they're going to get closer to God. God has to decide, and God did decide. He gave us a guide to get close to Him, how to connect ourselves to Him. It's called the Torah. And if it's a way that is through the Torah, then that's the way to God, for a Jew at least. If it's not, and even for Goyim, there's parts in the Torah that apply to Goyim. If it's not through the Torah, then it's very suspect that maybe it's Avodah Zorah, that it's strange worship. It's Avodah, but it's Avodah Zorah. It's not the worship of the Ribbono Shel Olam that he condones. And therefore, the power of creating the Kohen had to come from Moshe Rabbeinu in his capacity of being the giver of the Torah, the reservoir of Torah. That had to create that relationship of the Kohanim. And that's what a Kohen is. What was the Midah of Aaron HaKohen? Ohev Shalom, the Rodev Shalom, Ohev Esabrios, Umekarvan LaTorah. What is Shalom? Torah was given, the Rambam says, to bring Shalom to the world. Shalom means perfection. Getting close to God means becoming more perfect. Because if you're more perfect, then you're closer to God, who is the ultimate perfection. So God gave us the Torah that we can perfect ourselves and therefore get closer to Him. The way to get closer to Him is only through the Torah. So Ohev Shalom. Aaron HaKohen loved Shalom, perfection. And he was a Rodev Shalom. He ran after it. And the Mela, he loved people because the Shleimus perfection is only a team effort with a lot of people, all people being involved. No one person can reach perfection on his own. And therefore, Makarvan LaTorah, to bring people closer to Torah, because in that environment, you reach perfection and you reach a closeness to God. That's what a Kohen is. That's the, that is the ultimate of what a Kohen is. And, therefore, we are Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, and to bring out that kahuna, what's it called, you need the power of Torah as its source. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to appoint the Kohanim. The second thing, and that's why it says, V'ata hakrev elecha Aaron achicha. And the third thing is the big day kahuna. Like we said, the big day kahuna bring out the kedusha of the Kohen. The kedusha of the Kohen is, how do they achieve that getting closer to God, that perfection, two ways. One is Yoru Mishpatech Eliyakov. They are the teachers of Torah. Shevet Levi. The Kohanim are the teachers of Torah. And anybody who teaches Torah is a volunteer joined Shevet Levi. Not with all of the laws, but they are Shevet Levi. So the Kohen is Sifsei Kohen Yishmru Das, the Torah Yavakish Mipiu, that is a Kohen, and the Torah says it. Yoru Mishpotecho LiYaakov V'Soros Chol Yisrael. And the second thing is the, what's it called, the Karbonos. The Kohanim offer Karbonos for the Jewish people to bring them closer to God. How do you get closer to God? Through a Karbon and through Torah. Those are the two functions of the Kohen, and those are the symbol of the Big Day Kohuna. The clothing the Kohanim wear bring out their Kedusha and enable them to do their function, specifically to make the Karbonos, to make the sacrifices where they actually need the Begadim, and to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. That is the idea of the Kohen being God's representative to the Jewish people to help us bring out our Kedusha. Then they are also our representative to the world. They're Shluchei Didon. They're our representatives. The second function of the Big Day Kohuna is L'Kavod U'L'Tiferes, for glory and for honor, meaning that once we have that closeness to God, we are a beacon and an inspiration to the whole world. The whole world comes to a recognition of God through us. And we shine that light of Torah throughout the whole world. That is L'Kavod U'L'Tiferes. And that's what it says. Kihi chochmaschem u'binaschem la'inehu amim. The Torah is our wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the nations of the world, that they should say there is no wiser nation than us. And that's an honor to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, because we are God's representatives in the world. And therefore, the clothing of the Kohanim themselves were mechapim. They achieved, they created certain atonements. Each one atoned for a different sin to help bring the Jewish people to more perfection and to make them more of an honor to God and a symbol of God to the world. Okay. So all of these things have to come from Torah. The Torah Shebaal Peh had to come from the Torah Shebichsav. The concept of Avoda and Kohuna had to come from Torah, and that's why the Karbonos were done in the Mishkan. The Mishkan was basically the place where God's revelation of Torah continued after Har Sinai. It was on Har Sinai, came down into the Mishkan, and that's where God spoke to Moshe. Because that is the place of Torah, that's the place you make sacrifices. That's the place the Torah is taught, that's the place where sacrifices are. Avoda can't be separated from Torah. Once you separate Avoda, you have a way of serving God that is not, doesn't have a source in the Torah, it's Avodah Zarah. It's strange worship. It's something that a person makes up on his own. That's not getting closer to God. That's Avodah Zarah. So the Avoda, which is Kohuna, has to have its source in the Torah, and the Big Day Kohuna, the clothing of the Kohen, which bring out the Kedusha of the regular Jew and transmit it to the world, that also has to have its source in Torah. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu in this Sedra was not functioning. He had to be involved in these things directly, but not as Moshe Rabbeinu with all of his qualities and characteristics and talents or whatever as Moshe Rabbeinu. His name doesn't appear in this Sedra because he was functioning in this Sedra as a you, Atah, as his essence. There's people who are called Rebbe, big covet. There's people who are greater than that, that they don't need the title Rebbe. Their name was Godol Mirabon Shmon. Their name was greater than the title. And Moshe Rabbeinu reached a higher level, where he didn't need his name. Just his essence. Atah, you, the essence of who you are, that's what's in this Sedra. That is the essence of Torah. And therefore, this Sedra, Tetzaveh, usually comes out around Zion Adar, according to our minig, that we finish the Torah every year, except in a leap year, comes out around Zion Adar, which is the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu died and he was born. When he came into this world, his essence came into the world. He didn't yet have all his qualities and talents and accomplishments, but his essence was here. And when he left this world, what left physically and whatever was all of the extras. But the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu as Torah remains in every generation. So that's what we're talking about. Not Moshe. We're talking about Atta, the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is Torah. That's why his name isn't mentioned. And that's why Atta, the word Atta, which is the essence, here represents Aleph to Tav, which is the Torah. All the letters from Aleph to Tav, that's what Torah is. That's why in the Haggadah, it says, At Pesachlo, open up all the Torah to him, from Aleph to Tav, in order to inspire and arouse the Einu Yodei Lishol. And how did Moshe Rabbeinu, how was he zochen to this level? Because he said, if you're going to, in next week's Sedra, that if you destroy the Jewish people, then erase my name from your book. Because there can't be a Torah without the Jewish people. Yisrael, the Oraisa, the Kud Shabrihu Chadu. The Jewish people and the Torah and the Rabbanu Shem are all one. And if the Jewish people don't exist and the Torah doesn't exist, then I don't exist. Then take my name out of the Torah. And because Moshe Rabbeinu became one with the Torah, therefore his name is not mentioned in this Sedra, but his Atta, his essence, is mentioned in the Torah. Okay, that is what is relevant to last week's Sedra, that the power of Torah has to be the source of Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, Avoda, service to God, and how that service is brought out, the kahuna brought out with every Jew, and that is Torah, learning of Torah, and a karbanos, and how it is disseminated and transmitted to the whole world. Kovetim Tiferes, which is the clothing of the Kohen. That's the case. I wanted to relate this to Purim. Yeah, because there's the Big Day Kohuna have two parts to it. Lekadsho Lekano and Lekavel Tiferes. Okay. Now, it's clear that the three Yomim Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, correspond to the three Avos. Pesach corresponds to Avram Avinu, Shavuos to Yitzchak Avinu, and Sukkos to Yaakov Avinu. There are a lot of sources to this and a lot of connection. It's not for now. Okay. Now, what happened to Yosef? Right? He's also like an Av. Some say that Shmini Atzeres is connected Yosef. So he's regled if Neatzmo. It's a Yontif by itself. It's not a full-fledged Yontif, just like Yosef wasn't one of the full-fledged Avos, but in a certain degree he was, because his children were also Shvatim, Ephraim and Manasseh. So if Yosef is like Shmini Atzeres. Okay. Now, I want to say, therefore, that the two Yomim Tovim Derabbanan, we have seven Midos of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, which correspond to seven Gedolei Gedolim. The Avos, Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gevura, Yaakov is Tiferes. These are the main midos, the spheros, that the Rabbanu Shel Olam created to deal with the world. Everything started with Chesed, then Gevura, then Tiferes. Then comes Moshe Rabbeinu, Netzach, Aaron, Hod, Yosef, Yesod, and David HaMelech Malchus. Okay, so with all the Sholosh Regalim plus Shmini Atzeres, we have four of the Midos. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, and Yesod. What are we missing? We're missing Moshe, Aaron, and David. It's clear that Chanukah has a connection to Aaron HaKohen. It says that Aaron was upset that his shevet didn't have any part in the consecration of the altar, and God said, don't worry, you have something better, the menorah. And the menorah exists even when there is no Beis HaMikdash, whereas the sacrifice is only when there is a Beis HaMikdash. So the Ramban says, when does the menorah exist when there's no Beis HaMikdash? It's the same thing as the Mizbeah. Says the Ramban, it's a hint to Chanukah. that the lighting of the menorah would continue even in Galus through the Yontif of Chanukah. So therefore Aaron and Chanukah have a tremendous connection, and therefore what is the midah of Aaron? Hod. Hod is glory, right, which has a connection to Hoda'ah, to thanking God, and the Yontif of Chanukah is Halel v'Hoda'ah. That is what Chanukah is all about. Halel v'Hoda'ah, which is the midah of Aaron, and it would seem that Aaron HaKohen has a connection to the Yontif of Chanukah. If that's the case, then I was thinking that Purim is the Yontif of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, Purim is the Yontif of Moshe Rabbeinu. And why? Because Purim is the Yontif of the reacceptance of the Torah. What greater connection could there be than Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was Mekabel the Torah the first time? Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, the Jews reaccepted the Torah miratzon, willingly. So it for sure has a connection. Beyond that, we say Teshuasam ha-Yitzo la-Netzach v'l-Yikomu la-Netzach. The Netzach is the midah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Netzach, eternity. So therefore there is a connection between the midah of Moshe Rabbeinu, Netzach, and the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu as being the one who received the Torah. Here Purim is the re-receiving of the Torah. Okay. And therefore Purim falls in the month of Adar. And even Haman saw the connection between Moshe and what he thought was going to be his holiday of destroying the Jews, but in the end it was the holiday of preserving the Jews. But it all had to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was born and died in the month of Adar. Okay. And not only that, it's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that if you want to put money in escrow for Yesomim, that it should be not subject to loss. Don't put it in the stock market or whatever. You want to put it in something that will not depreciate. Then yikne mimenu adar. Buy an adar. So the Gemara has two meanings what an adar is. One meaning is that it's a tree. Very, very flourishing tree. That's a pretty good investment. Not going to depreciate. But another shot in the Gemara says Adar means a Sefer Torah. So the word Adar itself has a connection to the Sefer Torah, which obviously has a connection to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. So with that, I wanted to explain a very difficult Gemara in Chulin, which I haven't seen anybody really explain why this Gemara deals with the following four people. The Gemara says, Esther min ha-Torah min ayin. Where is there a hint to Esther in the Torah? Haman min ha-Torah. So it says, because it says, V'anochi haster astir ponai. I'll hide my face. That was a hint to the whole idea of Esther, that she came about when God was hiding his face. Then it says, Mordechai min ha-Torah min ayin. Where is there a hint to Mordechai in the Torah? Because it says, but in this coming week's Sedra, that you bring, what's it called, spices for the Shemen HaMishcha, for the oil, the anointing oil, and the first one was Mor Dror, and the Targum says Moradachya, Mordechai. Mor Dror means it's a certain kind of spice that was used with the anointing oil. So there's a hint to Mordechai in the Torah. And then it says Haman min ha-Torah min ayin. It says Hamin ha-Eitz. God said, did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to? That's Haman. Hamin, Haman. And then the Gemara says, Moshe min ha-Torah min ayin. Where's there a hint of Moshe in the Torah? So it says from Parshas Noach, Hagam hu b'shagam hu basar, because he's flesh, v'hoyu yom of neves mishonah. I'm only going to give him 120 years to decide to bring the flood or not. They have 120 years to do tshuva. But the word b'shagam is the gematria of Moshe. So Moshe is hinted to Bishagomu Basar, he's flesh and blood, Moshe, and he's going to live 120 years. So it's a hint to Moshe in the Torah. So it always bothered me, right? Why is Moshe put together with Haman, Esther, and Mordechai? What do you have to do with them? Haman, Mordechai, and Esther, I understand. They all have to do with Purim. What's Moshe got to do with it? But according to this, very good. Because Moshe is the foundation of the Yontif of Purim. So he's in that cloud too. And what it means is the essence of these people, not their not their names, their qualities. The essence of these people are hinted to in the Torah, because the whole Yontif of Torah, of Purim, has its source in the Torah, just like the four things that we mentioned have to have their source directly in the Torah, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was involved with them directly. Purim also is the Yontif of Moshe Rabbeinu, and all the components of Purim, which is Esther's part, that there could come a time when God hides his face, but he's still there. That Mordechai, who brought out the Kedusha in the Jewish people, just like the anointing oil brought out the Kedusha in all the vessels when it was anointed. And that Haman could be the person who represents doubt, whether God knows what's going on. God, it's as if God's asking, did you really eat from the tree? As if he didn't know. And Moshe, who's the source of all of that, okay, that even though he was flesh and blood, and he only lived 120 years, but that was Moshe, who was the flesh and blood Moshe. But Moshe, as the source of all Torah, lives on forever. That is what Purim is all about. And therefore, since Purim is the Yontif of Moshe, Moshe is included in that Gemara with Esther, Mordechai, and Haman. Otherwise, there's no, doesn't make any sense why Moshe is included over there. Now, what was the result of the miracle of Purim? So the Megillah says clearly, what accrued to the Jewish people because of the miracle of Purim? La Yehudim, Hoysa Ora, the Simcha, the Sason, the Ikar. Those are the four things that were the byproduct, the result of the miracle of Purim. Ora, Simcha, Sason, Yikar. And the Gemara in Megillah says, Ora is Torah. That's the Or HaTorah, the light of Torah. Simcha is Yontif. Sason is Bris Milah. And Yikar is Tefillin. Those are the four things. Now there is an opinion that says that Haman, in addition to wanting to kill the Jews, but he wasn't going to kill them for 11 months. He made his decree on Pesach, and the carrying out of the decree was supposed to be on the 13th day of Adar, 11 months later. During those 11 months, he prohibited the Jewish people from learning Torah, from keeping Yontif, from from wearing tefillin, and from having Bris Milah. And that's what it means, lahashmid, shmad. Shmad means a time when mitzvahs are prohibited. Shas HaShmad. Lahashmid means for 11 months to put them into a shmad, to prohibit them from fulfilling mitzvahs, or at least these specific mitzvahs. Then Laharog, 11 months later, to actually kill them. And then La'abed, and then to destroy their memory. So that was Haman's plan. According to that, when Haman was defeated, they were able then to learn Torah and keep Yontif and have Bris Milah again and wear tefillin. So it's very simple. That these are the aftermath, this is the result of Haman's downfall, the ability to keep these mitzvahs.
Who says this,
The Targum. Rashi says it there in the Megillah too. However, not everybody agrees with that. Not everybody agrees that Haman was interested in prohibiting mitzvahs. He just wanted to kill them. Like Hitler, Yimach Shemo, wasn't so interested in stopping us from keeping mitzvahs, even though Hitler also did that, but he did that more to psychologically make us into not human beings anymore, so he could kill us easier. But that was Haman too, same thing. So Haman was interested in killing us. He wasn't interested in, he kept mitzvahs, didn't keep mitzvahs, didn't make a difference to him. That wasn't an option to convert or not stop keeping mitzvahs and then we could save our lives. He just wanted to kill us. So some say the idea is that sometimes when something is threatened to be taken away, because you're not going to be alive, your life is taken away, you begin to appreciate a lot of things that you didn't appreciate before. So it's not so much that these things were taken away, but when we were in danger of being killed, and we wouldn't have any of these things, right? The tzara makes us more appreciative of the things that we have, which we take for granted, but when they're going to be lost to us, right, then we, what's it called, we appreciate them. So what were those things? The, what's it called? So therefore, all of these things were the opposite of the tzara that we went through. What does it say? Like, Evel Gadol HaYehudim, right? When the tzara came, there was a tremendous mourning. Vitzom, and they fasted. Ubechi, and they cried. Umispeid, and they eulogized themselves. They're like, you know, said, oh, it's, what a shame, we're all going to be dead, and, you know, what a shame that the Jewish people aren't going to exist. That's called a eulogy. They eulogize themselves. So, Evel is the opposite of Torah. And Ovel doesn't learn Torah, right? And Evel is where, what's it called? You don't see God's hand, and you feel abandoned, and you don't understand why the person died, and that's what you're mourning for. So, and you sit in darkness. So the light of Torah, which shows you that God is involved in everything, and there's a plan, takes away the Evel. So the aura of Torah is the opposite of the evil that happened when they had the tzara. Tzom means not to eat, right? That's the opposite of yontif. Yontif reminds us, simcha and mishta, eating and drinking and celebrating a yontif, reminds us that God is always there and he's doing miracles for us, and he did miracles in the past. And tzom means that you feel mitzumtzum, narrow. You don't see the whole picture. So when you don't see the whole picture, you have a lot of questions, and then you fast. But when you eat and drink and celebrate is when you see the whole picture, and everything is always for the good. Sason is what's it called, the opposite of crying, right? Crying is when you don't feel you can accomplish anything. You feel totally helpless and you just break down. That's what's called break down and cry, right? So Mila is the opposite. It shows our self-worth, that we are connected to God. We carry in our bodies the sign of God's connection to God. We're God's what's it called, chosen people. So that is the opposite of breaking down and feeling that you are helpless. You feel very very much covered your own self-esteem and self-worth. And lastly, the mispeid is where you're bemoaning, right, your past, but you don't see any future. That's the opposite of yikar of tefillin. Pe'er, tefillin are called pe'er. They're the opposite of afer. Afer, aleph pe'reish, is the same letters as pe'er. That's why we put ashes on the chassan's head in the place where he wears his tefillin. Afer b'mokom pe'er. That's why an oval doesn't wear tefillin. Why? Because tefillin represent, v'ro kolami ha'oretz kishem Hashem nikra lecha. Tefillin represent that the whole world should see that God's name is on us. It transmits our importance. It transmits God's greatness through us to the whole world. That's tefillin shorosh. That's yikar. That's glory. And that's pe'er. The opposite of afer. Afer is ashes that have no future. They only had a past, but you burned the whole past out of them. All of what they had is burnt out, and you're left with the residue. That's the aether. Pe'er is where you have all that potential that you can then bring out for the future. So mispeid is where you eulogize somebody for what the past was, but there's no future. And that is the opposite of yikar, of the glory of tefillin, which represents the pe'er, right, the tiferes, the glory of the future, of transmitting what we are to the nations of the world, as opposed to the afer, which is the, like the mispeid, only what's past, no future at all. Everything's been taken out of it. So, therefore, the all these things are really the four things that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be involved in directly. That's why Purim is the yontif of Moshe Rabbeinu. What are the four things? Ora is Torah. Which Torah? The Torah Shebaal Peh. Why? Because until now, the Sasema says, they appreciated Torah, but they didn't appreciate it was light. You know what they appreciated? That was fire. Torah, if you don't keep it, that's it. That's where you die. Shom teifur aschem. God picked up the mountain and threatened them, meaning that they were scared. They saw the fear of not keeping the Torah is death, but they didn't appreciate that keeping the Torah is life, that it's light. And that's the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the ongoing, what's it called, Torah of all the generations. That's what they appreciate in Purim time. So up until now, they appreciated the fire of Torah, but they didn't appreciate the Or HaTorah, the light that came from that fire. That was the first thing. Second thing, Yontif. Up until now, Yontif has two parts to it. There's Lashem, Yontif is to God, and it's also Lachem, for you. They appreciated Yontif as being the fact that Yontif reminded us that in history, God did miracles for us, and he took us out of Egypt, and he gave us the Torah, and he gave us the, what's it called, the Sukkot and the Midbar, he took care of us. We remembered the past of God's miracles. But we didn't really appreciate the Lochem, the eating and drinking of Yontif, how it impacted on us. That means that it's not just when God's doing the miracles from God's side, but from our side, he's always there. Purim, we appreciated that. Even when it appears that God has abandoned us, put us into galus. Even we don't see God's hand in open miracles, but it looks like just the natural occurrences of the world, God's there too. That's the lochem, the enjoyment of a yontif, how it impacts on us. Not just what God did in the past, but that means that God is always there, and he always cares about us. Those are only signs of what we can see, but then we should know that even when it's hidden, God is there. That was the yontif. And then sason is mila. Mila has two parts to it. There's the cutting of the orla. That's a one-time thing. And that usually the person doesn't do himself. His father does it. What kind that mitzvah? The person's a baby when it happens, usually. And so one-time, one-second thing. Krisus orla is sur meira, taking away the bad. But there's another part of mila. That's the priya. That is the os habris, the sign that we carry, that we're mohel, that we're circumcised, that represents our being part of God's club. This is the membership card. This is the sign of being part of God's club, being part of the Rabban Shalom special nation. That's an ongoing thing. That's why it says David HaMelech, when he realized he went to the bath and he had no mitzvahs. He didn't have tefillin, didn't have tzitzis, didn't have any mitzvahs with him. But he realized he still had one mitzvah, bris milah. And on that it says, sason nochi al mrasecha kamotze shalom. That's sason. Sason is the realization, it's not just the cutting, the circumcision itself, it's the os bris, it's the sign that we carry in our flesh. That they appreciated on Purim. Till then they appreciated the mitzvah of bris milah. Of separating yourself from the negatives, but they didn't appreciate this as an ongoing thing that reminds us that we are constantly connected to God. That was the sason of mila. Lastly, was the yikar of tefillin, the idea that until now they appreciated that tefillin was a sign that we have a connection to God, but they didn't realize that it's something that transmits that connection to the world. The world learns from that. It's something that's the yikar, it's the glory, it's the tiferes. That's what they came to a realization. Because it says on Purim that a lot of goyim became Jews. What's it called? And masqueraded as Jews because they were afraid of us. Or menasim es hayehudim. They uplifted us. They exalted us. Right? So the nations of the world recognized who we were when the miracle of Purim happened. So Purim had an effect on how we impact on the whole world. And if you think about it, all these things that we said correspond to the four things in the Sefer. The Torah Shebaal Peh, the Shemen, is the Ora. The Yontif is the idea that we have a special relationship with God. He does miracles for us constantly. He's always there for us. That's our connection to God. That's kohanim. We are God's representatives. We are his servants. That's the kahuna. And then the bris milah represents that we have that kedusha that can be brought out from that relationship. That's the first function of digdei kahuna, lekadsho lekanoli. And then the second function is lekavod l'tiferes, we transmit that to the whole world. That's the tefillah, which is the second function of digdei kahuna, lekavod l'tiferes. So these four aspects of Purim correspond to the four aspects that we said, and they all emanate from Torah. It's the yontif of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore the mitzvahs of Purim reflect these things too. Kriyas HaMegillah is like Torah, Ora of Torah. It represents the fact that God is always there behind the scenes. That's what the Megillah represents. And then there's the Suda, the Simcha, Yontif. Right? You eat a nice Purim Suda. It's like a Yontif. That's a Lachem. You're enjoying the Yontif. And then there's Mishloach Manos. We send presents, food presents, to every Jew, because every Jew is important. That's bringing out the Kedusha, the Kahuna, the Kadsho, the Kano. Every Jew has within him that potential for Kedusha. Therefore, he deserves a present, and we want to support him. We want to preserve that potential by giving him food and preserving it and giving him a little more calories, a little bit more of himself. And finally, Matanos Levyonim is to be mashlim, to perfect others who are missing. We are the ones who provide for the whole world. The Tiferes, the Yakar, we transmit what we have to the whole world and perfect them. That's an Evyon who has nothing, and we give him something to help perfect him, to be mashlim, to give him what he's missing. We give to the world what it's missing too. So all the nitzvahs of what's it called, a Purim, signify these ideas. And that's what it says in Shoshanis Yaakov. Shoshanis Yaakov, Tzahola v'Samecha, right? Yaakov Avinu was the Amud HaTorah. He was the original, the Avos, the pillar of Torah, right? And therefore, what's it called? Birosam Yachad Tchilas Mordechai. They saw the power of Torah as it connected to all the generations. They saw that Mordechai, God was there, what's it called, organizing things, and Mordechai was the Gadol Hador. He was the one who told us what was yes proper, what was not proper. In the beginning, we thought he was the cause of all the problems. And then we saw that his direction saved us. And then, Shuasam Hayisola Netzach, the Sikvasam Bechol Dor Vador, Netzach against Torah. Shuasam, our Yeshua, our salvation comes through the Torah, and Tikvasam, the Chol Dor V'Dor is Yontif. Every generation we see God's involvement with us, that we survive, we're around. There may be tzaris, but there's a hand behind making sure that we will survive. And therefore, Lahodiyah Shekol Kol Vechol, we have nothing to be ashamed of. We have self-esteem, Bris Milah, and Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai. There's an idea of disseminating this and transmitting it to the world, cursing the wicked, blessing the righteous. That's how we transmit this concept to the entire world. So these four things, which are in Parshas Tetzaveh, which Moshe Rabbeinu had to be involved in directly, are the four foundations also of Purim, and the Yontif of Purim Tak is the Yontif of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And the four things that Moshe had to be involved in are the four things that were the result of Purim. They are represented by the mitzvahs of Purim, and so on. Okay. Yeah. So David HaMelech, what?
Could it be the future Tisha B'Av?
100%. That the Svasema says that there will be a Yontif in the future when Mashiach comes, a third Yontif to Rabbanan, because there's two Yontif to Rabbanan now. One corresponds to Sukkot, 8 days of Hanukkah. One corresponds to Shavuos, 1 day of Purim. What Yontif is missing? Pesach. Pesach is the Geula. So when the Geula comes, there'll be a 7-day Yontif opposite that, and it could be that will be the, what's it called, the Yontif of Tisha B'Av. right? It'll culminate maybe in Tisha B'Av and start on the second day or the first, whatever, right? Whenever Mashiach comes, there'll be another Yom Tov.